Our sermon lesson for today is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, and then continuing in verses 8 through 11. You can follow along on the inserts again. I read in Jesus' name. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's be honest. We all love Cinderella stories. We love seeing someone's lying. We love seeing the down and out rise up. We love the stories that go from rags to riches. We love it when characters start out as orphans and become kings. And we really like it when Rocky Balboa beats that Soviet thug, Drago. We love these stories. And it seems like every time someone tells another story like this, they make $1 million. You're free to try it if you want. We like these stories because we want to be like those characters. We want to be like Cinderella and get to live in the palace happily ever after. But we want the fame, we want to climb the ladder, we want to reach the top, we want to be all that we can be. We want to rise above our current state. We want to thrive. But we've tried it. We've tried it, and we find all too often it doesn't work. We tried it in the Garden of Eden. God created us, put us in the garden, and says, "You're good. You are whole. You are complete. You need nothing more." And then Satan came along. And he stirred up within us that desire to look up, to achieve, to be better. Satan said, "When you eat of the tree, you will be like God. You will know good and evil. You can be better. You can improve yourself." He taught us to look up. And we fell for it. We took the bait. We ate from the tree. And we did become something more. Now we knew evil. But it was not better. God is the exact opposite of us. While we're always looking up, trying to improve, trying to do better, God is the opposite. God looks down. God has no reason to look up. There's nothing above Him. He is the highest there is. God doesn't even look side to side. There's no one like Him. God only looks down to those who are beneath Him. And Luther goes so far as to say, the further you are beneath God, the better does God see you. Kind of like that. God is far-sighted. God looks down. And this is the way that God's always been. God looks down. This is what He always does. God always proclaims good news to the poor. Even before God cursed poor Adam and Eve, He proclaimed good news to them that He would send one who would crush Satan's head. God always binds up the brokenhearted. When Cain killed Abel, God bound up that wound in Adam and Eve and gave them another son, Seth. God proclaims liberty to the captives. Even while the people of Israel were still under slavery, before the Passover took place, God said, "Tonight you are free." God announces the opening of prison to those who are bound, whether it was the prophet Jeremiah or the apostles Peter or James or John, weren't any iron bars that would hold them back. God gives a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. Abraham's son Isaac wasn't reduced to ashes. Instead, God gave both Abraham and Isaac a crown of praise as He gloriously and miraculously provided a sacrifice for Himself. Your God always gives the oil of gladness instead of mourning. When that sinful woman, likely a prostitute, went to Jesus at the Pharisee's house and washed His feet with her tears, Jesus anointed her with grace and forgiveness. This is what God always does, and God does all of these things because it brings Him glory. We are the opposite. We look up. We try to improve ourselves. We try to do better. We do everything that we can to improve our state of life, no matter what it means to the people around us. We desire to be our own God. And the more we try to improve ourselves, the more we fail, and the more we sin, and the further and more pitiable we become. The good news for you here today is that God has had pity upon you. God descended to us in such a remarkable, awesome, humble way, a way that we never would have expected. God looked down and God came down. Your God, who did all of those things for the people of the Old Testament, your God humbled Himself and placed Himself inside the womb of a peasant girl. Your God came down and humbled Himself to be born at night in a cold barn. Your God came down and allowed Himself as an infant to be rescued by these two poor parents escaping a king who wanted to kill the infant Christ. Your God came down and grew up in a backwoods podunk town, learning the trade of a carpenter. Your God came down and learned the trade of a carpenter. Your God was despised and rejected by His peers and by even His own family. Your God came down and touched lepers. He ate with tax collectors and prostitutes. Your God came down and He suffered. Your God came down and he bled. Your God came down and he died for you. And it's these things that bring him glory. He did all of this for you. Jesus is the one who, in Luke chapter 4, takes the verses that we read, reads them in his hometown, and says, "Today these have been fulfilled in your hearing." This Christ is the anointed one. He was anointed for you, so that you here, who are poor, can have good news proclaimed to you. He was anointed so that you here, who are bound and mourning and in prison, so that you can be freed. He is the one who is anointed for you so that even the prison bars of death, they mean nothing to you. He is the one who will anoint you with the oil of gladness. He will crown you with that beautiful headdress. He is the one who clothes you in the garments of salvation and in the robes of righteousness. The God who has done all of these things, who's always been doing all of these things, is the God that you have. It's the God who clothed you in your baptism in the robe of salvation. It's the God who continually, through his word, covers you with a robe of righteousness. He was anointed for this purpose. He was anointed so that you and all the believers who have come before you and all the believers who will come after you, so that you can move from rags to riches, not by what you've done. That hasn't worked. But by what he has done. What he has done for you in looking down to you who are low. He has made you a promise. And he is always faithful to those promises. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.